Chapter 2. When Ed wakes up, it's with a flail of more limbs than he expects, a mouthful of familiar dark hair that's not where he expects it to be, and a loud splash as he hits the water on the side of the bed. Ed. Steed's face. Ed's, really. God. He's going to take a minute to get used to seeing Steed's expression on his face. Fuck. Pops over the edge of the bed, wide-eyed. Are you all right? Fine. Grumbles Ed, splashing as he rights himself, feeling the water soaking back into his skin. He's not all dried out the way Steed usually is after a few hours out of the water, and a glance out the window tells him it's shading towards afternoon, the sun long past where it shines through. Forgot about the tentacles. He swims to the sandy beach that separates the water from the steps to the house and shakes himself off, pushing Steed's hair off his face. He waddles on his tentacles through the shallow water, then tugs the rope holding the platform bed to the dock until it bumps gently against the wooden pylons. He ties it off with a quick cleat hitch and turns to squint at the stairs. He's got to pay the bills today. Just because he's apparently a Scylla for the moment doesn't mean he wants the electricity cut off or the city coming knocking about taxes. And if he fucks with his routine, his brain will mark them down as finished and he'll never get paid. He glances back at Steed, who's very carefully sliding from the bed to the pier. You all right? He asks. Steed looks up, his sunny smile odd on Ed's features. Just fine, Ed. Trying out your legs. Hang on. Ed swims back over and heaves himself up to sit on the edge of the dock, his tentacles helping to pull his weight up. He tries not to think about how he doesn't have a butt to sit on. In all his panic about his dick and balls, he forgot about his butt entirely, and instead perches on a pile of folded tentacles. Let me help you. I don't want you to trip and brain us both. Yes, that seems wise. Steed accepts the tentacle around the waist to steady him as he turns clumsily onto his hands and knees, then sits back on his heels. He winces. Oh, Ed, your knee, he says, a bright spike of pain shooting through the bond. Does it always hurt like this out of the water? Sometimes, says Ed. It's usually okay, though. Just don't fold it like that. That's fine. It's not fine, Ed. Not if you're hurting. Steed wobbles up onto his knees, and Ed reaches out to take his elbow. 1 foot flat, okay? Then the other. He eases Steed upright, changing his grip from hand to tentacle, and moving his hand to around Steed's thigh instead. This has the very interesting side effect of putting Steed's cock directly in his face. And Ed is once again struck by the oddness of seeing his own cock from this angle, and knowing it's not his at the moment. It's kind of hot, actually. And he leans in to press a kiss to the base, nuzzling his nose into the curling hair. Above him, Steed gasps and his knees buckle. Ed catches him with hands and tentacles and tries to laugh. But what comes out is a hoarse huffing noise he's never heard from Steed's throat before. He pulls Steed in, holding him as he weaves, and kisses the side of his hip instead. Maybe not the time for that, says Steed reluctantly. Maybe after I've learned to walk like a human. Ed laughs again, this time psychically instead. Maybe. He kisses Steed's hip again, avoiding any of his tattoos, and holds him steady while he finds his footing. It's a little like helping someone find their sea legs, or their land legs after a long time on a boat. The body Steed's in knows how to walk, but he just can't figure out how to use the memory. After a long moment, Steed feels more secure. Ed releases him bit by bit, until he's just got his hands hovering around Steed's bare thighs, and Steed stands on his own, beaming. I'm doing it, Steed crows. I'm walking like a human. You want to try a step? Steed grins down at him. Absolutely. He shifts his weight to one leg and lifts the other. His face immediately shifts to one of horror as his arms windmill, and Ted catches him around the waist with a tentacle, grinning. Take it slow, love. Steed groans audibly, then freezes. I'm talking like a human, too. How wonderful. Ed loves his fucking guy. After a few more false starts, they get Steed down the dock mostly under his own power. And he stands on the sand between the water and the flagstones that line the back half of the room, digging his toes in with a rapturous expression. "You have so many fewer limbs," he says, "but each one feels so much."
"Let's get you rinsed off and into some pants," says Ed, "because I promise you sand doesn't feel that good on all your parts."
He's got a cabinet full of clothes in the outdoor kitchen they'd installed, and he pulls out a pair of loose sweats while Steed rinses under the shower head. He grins at the feeling of delight Steed's projecting at the hot water on his skin, at the soft terry cloth towels. Ed's just fucking thrilled he can open the fridge with one tentacle and pull out a bowl of fruit with another, all while pouring Steed a glass of water and finding him his shirt. Fucking tentacles, man. Great. He feels a little bad Steed's got his shitty knee and creaky joints for his human body test drive, but Steed doesn't seem to mind. He sits down to thread his feet through the pants slowly, like Ed after half a dozen beers, and lets Ed tug the shirt over his head. Ed contemplates the stairs again. Steed's been upstairs a few times since they built the house, mostly to look around or to choose a new book. He took to reading like a duck to water, but he still prefers that Ed read aloud while he follows along with his eyes. The stairs are a challenge for him. They're a bit narrow because of the way the house is carved out of the cliff, with smooth stone that can't be carpeted since it's constantly wet. Ed puts his hands on the banister and starts up, taking one step and letting his tentacles flow onto the next as he pulls his body forward. His biceps are already aching at the third step, and he lets go with one hand to flex and... fuck. "Ed!" Steed cries, and wobbles over to him where he's landed in a pile of tentacles on the floor at the foot of the stairs.
"Yeah, maybe let's stick to the water for now," says Ed ruefully. "The bills can wait."
The next few weeks they spend having fun in each other's bodies, experiencing things they can't as themselves. Steed delights in food. He's still a vegetarian, but he says human taste buds have a different range. Ed knows what he means. He eats seaweed and anemone and algae, but everything tastes vaguely of ocean. Even Steed's beloved watermelons taste muted, less sweet than he wants them to be. He does enjoy experiencing Steed's new human palate along their bond. How much he likes tea, his delight in spicy food, his unabashed glee at pastries. They swim together in the ocean, since Ed's human body can apparently breathe underwater now. His eyesight as a silly is completely different. He can see colors he's never seen before, and currents, and his ability to sense movement around him seems almost supernatural. Steed and Ed's body can see better underwater than Ed could before the shift, but Steed still grumbles that he feels wrapped in fog. He's being dramatic, but Ed can't pretend he doesn't love it when he whines. Steed does not like the human digestive system. Ed asks politely that he not whine about that. Of course, they fuck a lot. Steed pouts when he can't get it up as often as he'd like, but Ed makes it up to him by vigorous lessons regarding the human prostate. Eventually, though, they start to idly explore options to switch back. The first thing they try is swapping secrets. "I slept with a doll made of coral until I was well into adulthood. Her name was Star."
"Oh, that's cute. My gay awakening was Tintin."
Steed wrinkles his face when Ed sends him an image. "He does not look like me."
"Uh-huh. You next."
"Sometimes young Silva will, ingest their own ink."
Ed laughs. "Young humans do that, too.
It's supposed to be a mild psychotropic substance."
"But?"
"I got too close to a hydrothermal vent and burned my tentacles. I couldn't smell or taste anything for months."
"I let an ex give me a stick-and-poke tattoo on my ass," I said, "slut."
Ed sends Steed a picture, since he'd only ever seen the cover-up.
"Well, the anchor looks better."
When they run out of inconsequential shit, they get a little more serious. "I was running away from the brine when Izzy caught me."
"I knew that."
"Yes, but it wasn't the first time. I always went back. My father didn't even notice half the time. I'm a coward, Ed." Ed sends a pulse of love and indignance along their bond.
"You're living as a fugitive with your interspecies lover. You're a badass."
That cuts through Steed's gloominess and leads to a little hanky-panky. When they're finished, Steed says, "Your turn." Ed sighs.
I never had the courage to run away. Not when I was a kid, which wasn't my fault, but before I met you, I wanted to get away from my life. I was spinning my wheels. Instead of doing anything about it, I just wallowed. But you're here now, with me. But I'm here now, with you. Ed looks longingly up the stairs from his spot floating beside the dock, but he's still spooked by the last time he tried to go upstairs. It won't be the same as what he wants, anyway. He's longing for his bathrobe, which won't fit over his tentacles, and the freedom of a run on the boardwalk, his shoes pounding against the wood, the wind ruffling his hair. He's also desperately craving a burger, something he doesn't have often. Now that he's with a vegetarian who can't go to a restaurant, the few times he's had a craving since moving to the island, he's biked into town and brought one back, steaming and juicy, to enjoy upstairs while Steve stays below. But number one, there's no way Steve can operate a bicycle long enough to make it to town, and Ed certainly can't. And number two, there's no telling if Steve's body can even process cow meat. And three, Ed would feel super fucking weird about putting it in Steed's stomach in the first place. Ed is starting to miss his body, though. He misses his tattoos, although he loves Steed's smooth cream and teal skin. He misses stretching and not having his limbs object to it with actual sentience. He misses sitting in a chair, putting his feet up. He misses feet. Fuck. Every time Steed comments on how much Ed's toes freak him out, tiny, useless, bony tentacles, he calls them. Ed thinks longingly about his fuzzy slippers upstairs. Steed's body, sensitive skin, slick hole, endlessly versatile tentacles, is really fucking hot. But he misses his standard equipment. Single dick, ball sack, ass. He'd fucking murder for a blowjob that didn't involve 16 limbs right now. Fuck. Steed's engrossed in a book, curled up in Ed's comfy chair just past where the sandy beach switches to flagstones, feet tucked under him the same way he would usually sit with his tentacles. Ed sighs and watches him fondly. He's mouthing along to the words, which is hilarious because his body has somehow translated Steed's shaky grasp of reading into a habit shared by verbal language speakers through some kind of muscle memory or something, since Steed's never formed a syllable in his life. But he's moving Ed's lips, sighing contentedly at the end of the page, and tucking his hair behind his ear in a very human gesture. Steed looks up and smiles at Ed, uncurling and stretching his legs out. Fuck, Ed's jealous. Are you all right, love? I'm getting some wistfulness from you, I think. I'm fine, Ed replies, just wondering why nothing's worked. Steed walks carefully down the dock and settles cross-legged on the wood. I don't know, Ed. What did Jackie say we needed? To understand something about each other, right? Ed feels his tentacles shifting and lets them, tries to shake some of his anxiety out through their movement. I mean, I know plenty about you. I knew you plenty before all this. I don't know what she wants from us. It's not her, Steed says. It's the Sea Lords. They want to make sure people are right together. And we are, says Ed. Aren't we? Steed's quiet for a moment, closed off, and Ed's heart starts to pound in his chest. His palms start to sweat. His tentacles start to churn the water around him. Steed. Steed blinks Ed's eyes, meets his gaze, and suddenly the amid of bond is flooded with a burst of love so intense Ed actually sinks under the water about a foot, gasping with the force of it. He can feel his cheeks heating, heart pounding an altogether different kind of intensity, and long, tattooed arms curl around his waist and tug him up. Of course we are, says Steed. He slid into the water, and as they break the surface, he presses his face into Ed's hair, nuzzling against his ear, holding him tightly. Of course, Ed, I'm sorry, I was thinking about what Jackie said, that's all. Fuck, says Ed shakily, and opens in response. Throws open the curtains on his adoration, lets it shine down like noon sunlight on the sparkling waves of Steed's mind. Fuck, Steed. We'll figure it out. Steed kisses his neck, his cheek, the corner of his mouth. Hey, we'll figure it out together. It grates on Ed, though. Why hasn't anything worked? They've shared secrets. They've talked endlessly about how much they love each other. They've learned each other's bodies from the inside out. So why is he still staring at his own body from outside it? He'd nearly forgotten about their planned research trip with Alu and Jim. When he spots the Naranja gliding into their harbor, he calls Steed out from where he's sorting through his collection of ancient forks and spoons. "Should we tell them?" he asks. Steed frowns. No Scylla's ever told a non-Scylla about the shift. "You told me," Ed points out, obviously. "You're different," says Steed. "You're my mate." And that fucking makes Ed glow, a flush spilling down his bare, pale chest and rolling through their connection. "Well, you didn't actually tell me," he starts. "Yes, yes." Steed rolls Ed's eyes and settles down on the pier beside where Ed's floating. "I suppose that's true." Alu cuts the engine as Jim hops off the boat, tying it off efficiently in the slip across from Ed's sloop. Ed looks longingly at his beautiful boat. They'd barely managed to get it back from Jackie's after the transformation, limping across the Caribbean, and he's certain their luck wouldn't hold a second time. He's in no shape to be sailing, and neither is Steed. Steed waves at them, and Jim narrows their eyes. "Nope," they say, shaking their head. "Fucked up vibes here, man. I'm out." "What?" says Alu, glancing from Jim to Ed and Steed. "What?" "Algo muy raro esto pasando aquí." Ed doesn't need to be fluent in Spanish to get the gist. Or maybe that's his new fucking psychic brain, getting the, "I'm not here for this fucked up shit," from Jim. "So, you're not coming?" "Go see what's happening in town," they say, and disappear around the corner of the house. Holly watches them go, obviously mystified but used to Jim's nature. Then he sighs, and Ed can feel his discomfort radiating out. And that's weird. Is this what Steed feels from everyone all the time? He's looking at Steed, but his mind is following Jim's imagined path over the cliff edge and down the dirt road towards town.
What's going on, guys?
He's looking at Steed, who he thinks is Ed, and Ed realizes suddenly that neither of them can talk. Steed's communicated psychically with Alu before, but can only give vague impressions. Most of their interaction has been translated through Ed. Ed's never tried, obviously. The silence stretches as Ed fumbles to get a handle on the thin wisp of a connection he finds between him and Alu. They've been friends a long time, but not close ones. Ed hasn't had many close friends, not until Steed, but he's known the guy pretty well for years.
"So this is weird," starts Alu.
And then his eyes widen as Ed presses a clumsy greeting to him.
"Ed?"
he says wearily.
"What's going on?"
"I'm Ed," he says, gesturing toward himself. He gives a weak pull on their bond.
"Me. I'm Ed."
He can't figure out how to communicate more complex words or concepts, and it's frustrating. But it only takes Alu 5 squinting seconds of looking between Ed and Steed for a blast of horrified understanding to pour out from him.
"No fucking way," Alu says. "Is this a sex thing?"
Ed shakes his head and sends Alu some snapshots of marriage, and some of the Ursula parts of The Little Mermaid, and then a shaky memory of him and Steed and Jackie in the Cave of Wonders.
"It's a mating ceremony?"
"Yes, stuck. We're stuck."
"Damn, that's weird, guys."
"No fucking duh." "Maybe cool it on the condescending attitude?
Because I'm guessing you want my help."
Steed lets out a huff of involuntary laughter, soft compared to the unabashed mirth rippling along their bond.
"Why am I so bad at talking to him?" Ed says. "You're better than me and I've known him 10 years.
"I have more practice. It was never like this with us."
"Darling,
even mated Scylla aren't like us." Ed smiles at him. And they spark love back and forth for a moment, until Alu says,
"This is even worse when I can't understand either of you."
Ed sends him a mental scowl, and a physical one for good measure.
"So what's the solution?" Alu asks. "This can't be permanent."
"Send him Jackie's words," says Steed. "Maybe he'll have an idea." Ed nods and tries to remember what she'd said exactly, shoving it through his connection with Alu. Something hidden, he remembers her saying. Test the bond, learn something new. And it's a bit easier to pass that memory to Alu this time, the path between them strengthening with use.
And you've tried, like, normal secrets, right? Alu sighs. Of course you have. Stupid question.
He glances up the cliff, then at Steed.
Hey, Steed, he says,
and Steed's head pops up, like he's surprised to be addressed.
You want to try some more human stuff?
A grin spreads over Steed's face, and he nods.
I'm going to be paying for this,
Alu mutters as he pulls out his phone.
And more?
Hay que pedir algo de ti que vas a dir. Steed had followed Jim with some trepidation, finally steady on his human legs. Ed watches them go until he's out of sight, weaving mental fingers in their bond and tugging gently, feeling Steed tug back. It's the first time they've been apart more than a few hundred feet since they found each other after Steed's escape, and he's not sure how he feels about it.
Man, it's even worse when it's you in there.
What's worse?
The lovey-dovey psychic stuff.
It's cute, Alu says at Ed's expression.
It's cute, but it's, intense.
Ed sends an indignant series of memories of him catching Alu and Jim making out on their research ship. Alu just laughs.
I'm not embarrassed.
Neither am I. Of course not. You could be on a billboard for an interspecies dating app. You know, if the government wouldn't dissect your boyfriend if they got their hands on him.
This isn't helping.
Helping me deal with it, so that's something. Alu looks at him consideringly. I'm guessing we're not going out on a research cruise today, huh?
Sorry, says Ed. I have no idea how Steed does what he does with the fish. And I probably can't make it up on the boat.
No offense, man, but, I don't want you up here. You're very wet.
Hey, so's most of the shit you pull out of the ocean.
Yeah, but you're a lot bigger. And you're not letting me write a paper on you, so... Ed grumbles, but concedes the point. He keeps pace with the boat as Alu motors out of the harbor and around their little peninsula, into the open ocean. It's a warm day in the Caribbean, and the sun's shining bright in the sky, and Ed finds it cheering him up against his will. He's known Alu a decade or more, but he's actually gotten to know him for the first time these past few months. It's kind of embarrassing, really, how he had no friends before Steed.
I don't know what the fuck to do, he says.
And he's kind of shocked at himself. But there's something about this way of communicating that makes being coy really fucking hard.
I've literally got no idea what to tell you, man. Except that you kind of jumped into this with both feet.
He pauses. Or, all your tentacles.
What do you mean?
Look, when Jim and I finally got together, we'd been friends for years. Family, almost. But we had to really open up to each other before we could make it work.
We're open. Protest said. We have a fucking psychic bond.
Okay, sure, says Alu.
Yeah, but is there stuff you're not telling him?
Everybody's got secrets.
Secrets about him?
Because that's the one thing Jim and I promised each other. We're always honest with each other about each other. Ed thinks about that as they float, dredging for shrimp samples and resetting buoys.
Is he honest with Steed? Is there stuff he's hiding?
He doesn't love the answers his brain's giving him. As Alu and Jim's boat speeds away, Ed settles next to the pier, enjoying the way the water's stilling back into its usual pattern without the humming of the motor vibrating through everything. He hadn't realized how sensitive Steed was to vibrations. That's something he's filing away for later.
I talked to Jim, says Steed,
or, well... We communicated quietly. I don't know that I can really call it talking, but I had an idea of what I need to tell you for the shift.
Oh, yeah?
Ed pulls himself up on the dock, and Steed follows, climbing the ladder. Ed watches him, watches the way he's figured out how to exist in a human body with some of the grace of his Silouan.
What's that?
Let me get this out, says Steed. I think it's guilt.
Guilt?
Steed waves a hand at their house around them, his mind adding the entire island to that gesture. For your life, Ed. What do you mean, my life? Ed's not loving the direction the conversation's taking, and his tentacles reach out and wrap around Steed, tugging him closer, until they're wound together side by side. I like my life. But Ed, you had so much more back there, and you gave it all up for me. What did I have, Steed? Ed pulls back a bit, meets Steed's eyes. What the fuck was I leaving behind? Izzy, who sold you out? A half-empty apartment with a fridge full of takeout? A degree I wasn't using in a marine sanctuary that sold anything halfway interesting to the highest bidder? You had burgers, and an identity, and a reputation, and options. You weren't just stuck with me forever. Steed, I like being with you. He opens up, tries to show Steed the difference in his life, the way it's changed since they met, the dim gloom of his apartment, the way his friendships with Izzy and Ivan and Fang had frayed to almost nothing, the nights spent alone in front of the TV. He pairs those memories with the sunrise over the ocean, Steed's lips on his forehead, racing the sloop against Steed's tentacled propulsion. I feel like I wasn't even living before I found you. I was just treading water. If anyone should feel guilty, it's me. Steed radiates confusion. What? I took you from your home, says Ed. We captured you, held you hostage. That's not something a good person does, Steed. Steed's lips quirk. Ed, I told you I was running away anyway. But you were running to freedom, not to a different cage. Ed's heart is pounding, because it's like Steed's forgotten about this. Forgotten that Ed kidnapped him, held him prisoner. You let me out, though, says Steed. He reaches out, takes Ed's hand. I didn't know what freedom was until I met you. But if you need to hear it, I forgive you. Ed shakes his head, overwhelmed. He wraps his arms around Steed, feels his own wiry shoulders under his hands, feels Steed's heartbeat in his own, not sure which rhythm is from which heart. Steed sighs, lets Ed hold him up in the water, tangles his legs in Ed's tentacles. I love you, he says, and pulls back, meets Ed's eyes, and kisses him. At first, it's a normal kiss, a wonderful, lovely kiss, like hundreds they've exchanged since they escaped. But the radiance bouncing back and forth, the resonance in their bond, it's brighter, glowing, and it's not just inside their minds. Ed's body is tingling, numb, disconnected, and he's not Ed anymore. He's part of the whole universe at once, part of Jim and Alu, Jackie and Izzy, the dolphins and the whales, and Steed. He's in Steed, passing through him, feeling every particle of his being and every memory in his mind. He stretches his arms out, trying to encompass all of it, kicks his legs. Legs. He stretches his toes, laughs aloud with his mouth wide, kisses Steed as the world whites out. The come down from the switch back is nothing like the first time. No shock and horror, no lancing pain, no panic at the strangeness, just his own familiar limbs, his own skin, welcoming him like a warm bath. It takes Ed a few minutes to find his feet, pins and needles running down his thighs. He's still floating in the water, he realizes, drifting under the surface 3 feet or so down, and he's still breathing, what the fuck? He kicks his legs, because he definitely has legs again, thank fuck, and bursts through the surface into the air, starting to cough out water, but, he's fine. Steed? He treads water in a circle, searching for Steed, and oh, there he is, breaking the surface as well, and Ed. Ed missed him. Missed seeing that beloved fucking face, those hazel eyes, that dimple that he wants to dive inside of, and those broad shoulders that didn't sit right on him at all. Ed, Steed says, and a smile bursts across his face like a sunrise. And Ed can feel him, his joy, his comfort, the little niggling feeling of anxiety gone now, a calm he's never sensed in Steed underlying everything else. It's fucking lovely, is what it is. Ed, I missed you, he says. And there's a splash, and Ed's laughing because he's got a warm, writhing armful of Steed. I was right here, he says, and his voice is rusty, throat dry despite the week spent mostly underwater. I was right here, Steed. And Steed says, yes, but I couldn't see you, and fits his fingers around Ed's face, sweeps thumbs over his cheekbones, stares into Ed's eyes with his own sparkling hazel ones. He's so fucking pretty, and Ed can't fucking stand it, can't be apart from him even the few inches they're separated now. So he wraps his arms around Steed's shoulders, hooks his legs around his waist, and kisses him. And it's always incredible, even after 1,000 or more kisses, but now, he's inside Steed. Not like he could be before through the amit of bond, like an echo at a distance until Steed reached out. No, now Steed's there, so close he can touch him, like he could slip into him like a second skin at any moment, like Steed could slip into him just as easily. It should scare him, would have scared him before Steed, would freak out anyone he tried to describe it to, but it's incredible. It's right. Steed's lips are soft against his, salty with seawater. He can taste the subtler flavors in it now, can tell that this water floated up from the deep, pure and briny. He tightens his legs against Steed, grinding his cock on Steed's soft belly. His cock. Fuck, did he miss his cock. Steed's tentacles are great, fucking sexy as hell, and shockingly versatile. But his cock is his, and his balls. Ed reaches down and strokes a hand over his cock, points it up and cants his hips, sinking a little further down, and presses on Steed's mind until he finds the strange semi-consciousness of his tentacles, nudging one up until it strokes over the sensitive skin of his sack, tiny delicate suckers at the tip affixing and releasing as the head of his cock slides slickly against the place where Steed's torso shades from golden pink to pastel teal. It feels good, and when Steed's tentacles curl up to wrap him in a slick, tight cocoon, it's even better because he can feel it from both sides. His cock, the pleasure building in his pelvis and the base of his spine, rebounding off the sensation of Steed's tentacles rubbing against his skin. Steed's slit throbbing where it's nestled away, the squeeze of one tip easing its way up Ed's ass. I love you, says Steed, and it presses into Ed, writes itself on his soul, and all he can do is radiate joy and love back at him because they're in this together. They're both here, and he's never been this close to anyone, and he's never wanted to be. Thank you for doing this for me. Ed grins against Steed's mouth, pulling back a bare inch and stroking his hands down Steed's sides. It was my pleasure, he says, literally. Your body is incredible. You. Steed stops, closes his eyes, a blush rising on his chest and cheeks, and Ed can see it even through the water. Which means, holy shit, he can see better now, just like he can breathe underwater. Fucking amazing. But Steed hesitates, and Ed relaxes his mind, opens wide for him. Steed shudders, eyes still closed, and sends him an image of Ed. It's clearly Ed, even though he's in Steed's body. Head thrown back, tentacles folded in on themselves, moving rhythmically underneath him. You liked that, didn't you, Steed? Ed asks. You liked when I fucked your body with its own tentacles. Steed's mind is darting away, evasive, but Ed just presses in closer, pushing out heat and interest. I might have, Steed concedes.
Because it's something you don't do? Asks Ed. Why not?
I don't know, Ed. It's just, that's not what it's for.
Neither is my ass, technically speaking, but we both enjoy when that gets fucked.
That pulls Steed up short, his mind blanking out as he remembers the tentacle he's currently got flirting with Ed's asshole. He eases it in deeper, dilating the tentacle, pressing it on Ed's walls, and Ed purposely calls up the memory of those same tentacles pressing into his slash Steed's hole, the feeling in his slash Steed's core lighting him up like nothing he'd ever felt. The way the suckers on the tendrils and bumps had met the ones on the tentacles as it entered. Ed, moaned Steed. That's so much, I can't. He wants it. Ed can feel it. He's intrigued, a little freaked out, but in a good way. A sexy way. It's dirty in all the best ways. Kinky in a way Ed was starting to think Scylla just weren't. Or at least Steed wasn't. Which was fine. Ed enjoys a little spice in his sex life. But he doesn't need to be whipped with a ping-pong paddle or put in a cage. Although he'll give anything a try once, and finds most of it at least interesting. But this is different. Steed's turned on by the transgression. And Ed's turned on by Steed being turned on. And also by the fact that he's never felt anything like that before. Ever. Steed, love, do you want me to help you try it? What? I could. Ed focuses, slides into Steed's mind, slips into him like an embrace, like fucking Patrick Swayze, and gives his body a gentle nudge to pull Ed in tighter. Oh, Steed gasps. Oh, Ed, that's... I'm just helping, says Ed. You don't have to do a thing. Just tell me if there's anything you don't want me to do. I trust you, says Steed. And isn't that the fucking best thing Ed's ever heard? The honesty ringing through him like a bell across the harbor, reverberating across his surface. Ed nudges his tentacles to spread out, one by one, pushing them aside as he blooms like the petals of a Dutchman's pipe cactus, the plant he and Jack had written a report on in college, solely chosen because the name is fucking hilarious. But Ed had secretly liked its other name better, Queen of the Night. Steed's like a fucking flower in the desert, blossoming under the dimming sky, and Ed's working his way to the core of him. He lets four tentacles wrap around his legs, two on each side, so he can stay straddling Steed's torso, and makes two of the innermost, most sensitive ones hang down. Steed shudders as the water hits his slit, as he tastes it on his delicate skin, his swollen, hidden hole. Is this okay? Ed asks. Steed shakes his head and Ed freezes, about to withdraw, but Steed tightens his grip on Ed's legs and asks. No, he says. I mean, keep going. Stop asking. Ed groans audibly, the sound bubbling through the water, and he nips at Steed's neck helplessly, fondly. You're so weird and so hot, Steed, he says, and rubs his cock along Steed's hole, sliding it in the slick dripping from the slit. It's incredible, like it always is. And when he brings the two tentacles up beside his cock and lets them twine around it, he almost comes on the spot. But Steed's there, pulling another one in, cinching it around his cock and balls like a soft, smooth, unimaginably strong cock ring. He moans and shivers, the orgasm staved off and diffusing through his body instead, leaving his skin feeling swollen and tender all over, his toes curling, his fingers twitching. The tentacles around his cock don't even need instructions. They tug him forward, pulling him into Steed like they usually do, but this time they don't let go of his cock. This time they tug it while still wrapped around it, sliding in with it, jacking him in slow spirals of squeezing suckers as he's welcomed into Steed's heat. And Steed is wide open, his mind gaping for Ed, his every thought and sensation laid bare. Ed buries himself in it, in Steed's mind and in his slit, and he fucks into him in a long, smooth slide that drags the tentacles along with his cock, deep into Steed. Oh, I see why that's forbidden, Ed. Oh, that's so much, babbles Steed. Ed's not much better, except where Steed's gone chatty. Ed's lost all powers of speech in the face of the sensations overwhelming him, the tsunami rising in his belly, all his nerves flooded with pleasure almost to the point of pain as Steed's skin overlays his, as every touch is amplified, exponential. He's not even sure when they come, or who comes first. All he knows is his body and Steed's body, and the bond between them are all somehow superimposed for a moment. One magnificent, perfect being like something out of fucking Plato. And then they're floating, entwined, the sun bathing them in warmth, Ed still buried in Steed, the water around them briny and dark, the heat between them not fading so much as easing to a simmer. He lets his cock slip out slowly, the aftershock still shuddering through his body, and gently tugs the tentacles free with his fingers. They seem to be worn out,
slipping out limply to trail in the currents. He fucking sympathizes. He's glad they're just a few dozen feet from their home, or he might just sink to the bottom of the sea and live there instead of trying to marshal the energy to swim back. It's all right. They've got nowhere to be, and he doesn't seem to get cold in the water anymore, thanks to the shift. They've got nowhere to be, nothing to do. Steed's hazy contentment fills him, and his own fills Steed right back. So he curls closer to Steed, closes his eyes, and drifts. A few weeks later, Steed corners him as they're tying up their little boat at their dock, reaching up and tugging his ankle with the tentacle. "Ed," he says, "you said your people have a ceremony as well for mating. For marriage?" Ed crouches down and slides into the water, resting his arms around Steed's shoulders to float with him. Steed's tentacles automatically come up to cradle him. "Yeah, but I don't give a shit about it, Steed. We're mated in all the ways that matter to me." Steed's quiet for a moment, but Ed knows him inside and out. He sighs. "You want to get married, don't you? The human way?" "I like human customs," Steed says, a little defensively, and Ed laughs. "I know you do, love. Let me think about it. There's got to be a way." It's easier than he expects to find a justice of the peace open to bribery. A call to one of their old fences got them a false ID for Steed, and the number of a justice of the peace willing to not ask too many questions. Ed's own false identity, Edwin Lerner, because Jim is a fucking comedian, has a U.S. passport and an address in Louisiana, and that's all he apparently needs to apply for a marriage license. The naturalization certificate for Steed, Stephen Du of Barbados, because again, fucking Jim thinks they're fucking funny, and they're right, fine, okay. Comes a few days later, with a very cute picture Alu took against the wall of the house while Ed stood on a ladder holding a sheep behind them, and Steed fidgeted in a stiff collared shirt. The justice of the peace is Swedish, and he says his name a couple of times, but Ed still doesn't catch anything beyond a series of consonants which immediately flee his mind. Steed's riding on a Segway, custom seat and tentacles hidden under the wide-spreading skirt, so he just glides along in an unnerving display of grace. He's incredibly uncomfortable, Ed knows. He can feel the dry heat itching under Steed's skin like it's his own skin, which it was very recently. So the feeling's got an extra echo. He can stand it much longer now, after the shift, but he still would prefer to stay in the water. But he's also incandescently happy, nearly glowing with it. Ed let him choose their clothes, bringing piles of wedding and fashion magazines down to the little table on the beach, letting him spread them out and marvel over colors and patterns. Then he'd brought down swatches, let him run his fingers over silks and corduroys and velvets and cashmeres, watched him hold them up to the light to compare their sheens. Steed had finally decided on a deep purple suit for Ed, linen jacket, waistcoat, tie, a new pair of boots, buff to a mirror shine, lavender sprigs woven into his hair, plucked from the sandy stretch of cliffs beside their home. Steed's outfit is custom, of course, sewed by a friend of Oluwande's. He only gave his name as Frenchie, and on seeing Steed had said, "I knew they were real," and then immediately overwhelmed Steed with questions about other mythical creatures. But he'd worked quickly, sewing Steed a gorgeous deep blue suit that matched his tentacles perfectly, with that incredible skirt that made him look human, if you didn't look too closely. They meet on the beach, Alu and Jim as witnesses. They'd sent an invitation to Jackie via the whale network. Steed had not appreciated Ed calling it whale mail, but fucking duh, but hadn't expected to hear back. Ed still doesn't know if she's there and just hiding herself, or if she'd snorted and tossed the invitation in the metaphoric psychic trash. He stands beside Steed, the officiant going on about love and duty and the bonds that bind. And all he can think is that he's fucking lucky. Lucky to have found Steed before Izzy's plans went through. To have had the guts to help him get free. To have found the courage to love him and to let himself be loved. Ed doesn't think there's anyone in the world he could love like he loves Steed. And there's definitely no one who could love him as well as Steed does, either. They're fucking fated to be together. Matched even though nobody would see it. somehow crashed into each other's lives and hearts and souls despite coming from two realms that couldn't be more separate. He's just fucking lucky. He reaches out with his hand and with his mind, and he slips into his husband's skin, just as Steed slips into his. The end.